Greetings, people loved by God. Welcome to worship on this Palm Sunday weekend. This is the day that we remember how Jesus entered into Jerusalem with shouts of Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We too shout our praise and sing glory to our King Jesus today too. In fact, hopefully you got one of those palm branches as you came in today. If you feel like you want to wave that around in praise to the Lord, feel free to do that. That would be just fine. For our friends worshiping online with us, a reminder to go to our website, chapelofthecross.org. There you will find under the Resources tab the link for the bulletin for this weekend. Also, you will find on the homepage under the Give tab ways you can give your offering to the Lord and His church. Just a few things for everybody to remember before we begin worshiping today. If you haven't signed up for a time to get your picture taken, now's the time to do that. Photos for our new directory will be taken April 13th through the 17th, and you can sign up at the Welcome Center today. You may also sign up online. Website and password information are in your chapel weekly today. There's even a special insert, I believe, with information on there on how to sign up. Time is getting a little short for that, so please sign up soon. We'd like full participation from all of our chapel members. This is Holy Week, and we will, of course, be joining together for some special worship services this upcoming week. We will worship together on Maundy Thursday at 11 a.m. in the morning and also at 6:30 in the evening. Those are identical services. Holy Communion will be served at both. Good Friday, we will worship at 12 noon and 6:30 p.m. Both of those services are identical tenebrae services. And then on Easter weekend, we will celebrate the resurrection of our Lord on Saturday at 5 p.m. and Sunday at 6:30, 8:30, and 11 a.m. And as we look forward to Easter, you may get a lily and beautify the chancel up here with those lilies. Information of how to get those is in your weekly today. Just note the deadline for ordering those lilies is Monday, the 29th at 12 noon. And finally, the April edition of Walking in the Word Devotion Project is printed and ready for you to pick up at the Welcome Center. You can also find the digital version of that devotion project on our website under the Resources tab. God's blessings to you as we worship this Palm Sunday weekend. We begin by listening to our opening hymn, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. For those using their hymnal at home, that's hymn number 442 in Lutheran Service Book. Thank you. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Most merciful God, as the people of Jerusalem with palms in their hands gathered to greet your dearly beloved Son when he came into his holy city, grant that we may ever hail him as our King, and when he comes again may go forth to meet him with trusting and steadfast hearts and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our Old Testament reading is from Zechariah, the 9th chapter. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm of the day is Psalm 118, and we speak it responsively. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Our epistle reading is from Philippians, the second chapter. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You're only son, no sin.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Together we speak our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace from our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. The streets are filled with cheering throngs of people, lining the path with palm branches and waving them as well. Jesus rides on a donkey to fulfill the prophecy. "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." Jesus hears the crowds that shout out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." It is a triumphant entrance, one that one would expect of a king, including the donkey, which was the official transportation of the early kings of Israel. This Sunday is designated as Palm Sunday, that day when Jesus enters Jerusalem in triumph to the throngs of adoring crowds. There are some Christians that do not see this day as triumphant, because by Thursday night, early Friday morning, Jesus is arrested, judged, scourged within a stroke of death, crucified, speared, killed, and buried. How does this ending make this Sunday a triumphant entry? But it is triumphant, because this is exactly what Jesus wants to happen. He is in charge as he marches, not toward a palace, not toward an earthly throne, but towards a death that leads to our salvation, eternal life, and the gift of heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem riding a donkey, he was fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah. The prophet tells the daughters of Israel that a king is coming. The king will be righteous, just, and endowed with salvation. In the early days of Israel's king, it was customary that the king ride a donkey. Jesus' popularity at this point is at its peak. But at the same time, so is the determination of his enemies to end his life. And as the crowd shout out, "Hosanna," which translates into "help," or "save us, we pray," they do not realize that in 5 days, they will have an eternal answer to the prayer that they are praying. But this is not the answer that they are looking for. There are theologians that argue Palm Sunday was not a triumphant entry, And this is because hymns such as My Song Is Love Unknown states that they sing Hosanna on Sunday and crucify Him on Friday. It's true that the joyous throngs were not looking for the King that had arrived. The crowds were not looking for the Messiah that would bring salvation and redemption. What the crowd was expecting is an earthly king, a David to solve their problems here on earth, to remove their enemies, especially the Roman emperor, to restore them to the glory days of David and Solomon. The problem is they did not listen to what the prophet said about this king. This king will end war, rule to the ends of the earth, and free prisoners with the covenant of his blood. This does not sound like David or Solomon, let alone the other kings of Israel. This king is different in ways that the crowd cannot grasp yet. Their flesh and sin demand immediate solutions to temporary problems of this world. They have missed what true redemption and salvation looks like, and they do not know who Jesus truly is, just as today we can label Jesus with missions that are not his. Unlike the crowds on Palm Sunday, we know the reason Jesus rides into Jerusalem that Sunday. That's not our problem. Our problem, however, is still just like Israel's, in that we assign things to God, therefore to Jesus, that are not the reasons he came to be crucified for us on the cross for our sins. His saving work is often not enough of us, and just like Israel, we want some extras with our salvation. And one of the best ways we express this sentiment of additions to Christ's mission is this common American expression. It's my God-given right to do whatever it is I want to do right now. Now let's think about this for a minute. A God-given right? This is different in a way from the hopes of Israel. They just wanted a new king and a government. We have expectations of Jesus like Israel, but it amounts to individual wishes versus the wishes of a nation. But it's still a mission to suit our immediate desires of the moment. Take our well-known statement in the Declaration of Independence, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are the views of a temporal human government addressing temporal human issues. This statement is the root of the problem, however, of God-given rights. We can be fooled by believing this, by our belief that this is a Christian nation. We fear God. The reality is, we have been given many blessings by God, but we have not earned them. They're ours because of God's grace for us. If it were a right, that means if God owes us this benefit, how do we pay for it? We didn't. And more importantly, if anyone owes anyone anything, we owe God. We couldn't even pay the price of our sins, let alone have paid God enough that he actually owes us something in return. What we have been given, wasn't paid for by us. It was done by his only begotten son, Jesus, who rode into Jerusalem to die for us, to pay the price to redeem us back to our Creator. We are beggars. And remember, beggars are owed nothing. Beggars receive everything by grace. Jesus also meets with Gentiles from Greece that day, and Jesus takes this opportunity to proclaim his true mission, the fruit that it will bear. He has come to Jerusalem to die, but he will be glorified. He must die like a seed and be buried so that he can bear the good fruit of salvation and redemption to the world. He was not in Jerusalem to overthrow the government or to get the Romans out of Palestine. No, Jesus has come to bring God's grace back to mankind. He did not come to be served, but came to serve. He did not come to save his life, but to save ours. He did not come because of Israel's covenant with God, but to fulfill God's covenant with Adam after the fall. He came to Jerusalem not because of Israel's covenant with God, but because God's covenant with Israel promised that the Messiah would come from their nation. For Israel, they will see the fruits of the seed that is Christ 7 weeks after Christ rose that first Easter morning on Pentecost. The fruit of the Spirit that Jesus promised to his disciples. And they will see these fruits in none other than Peter, who 7 weeks ago denied that he even knew Jesus. Peter will give the first gospel proclamation, telling the crowd, when the crowd asks, "What shall we do for salvation?" And Peter gives the answer that is still true today. "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Peter did not tell the people that they had the right to be saved, but they are saved through Jesus Christ, and he gives them the power to be saved, and us as well. Nothing from them, nothing from us, everything from God. We know Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and this was for our unearned benefit. We also need to understand that redemption does not give us liberty that we think about when we think of the words, "We are free." We have always been slaves. The difference in slavery is who owns us. Paul tells the church of Rome, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to salvation, and in its end, eternal life." Now, we all know that if we are slaves, we are not free. And if we're not free, everything we get from our owner is not from rights we have, but from grace that our owner gives us. And that grace, in our case, was not earned by us, but by the owner's son, Jesus. And the new slavery is one of freedom, because we have been freed from the horrible sins of our flesh. We are free slaves, and that is good news. And that freedom that Christ has earned for us should move our hearts to follow our Savior as we follow him to the cross this week. Follow Jesus triumphant to the courtyard. Follow Jesus triumphant march to Pilate and the scourge. Follow Jesus through the streets to Calvary and the cross. Follow Jesus too. It is finished. Follow Jesus to the grave and into hell to defeat death and Satan. And follow Jesus to rise with him on that first Easter day and the beginning of his return. We follow Jesus because he first loved us and saved us from our sins by his triumphant and majestic ride for us, his lost sheep. Jesus knew that riding into Jerusalem would bring his death. And yet Jesus rides into Jerusalem in triumph and majesty to save the world from its sin. When we fell with Adam, Jesus rides in triumph and majesty to break the curse of original sin. When we were lost in darkness, Jesus rides in triumph and majesty to light our way. And when we were separated from God, our Father, Jesus rides in majesty and triumph to redeem us back to God our Father. We have been freed from sin and death because of Jesus's ride into Jerusalem. And that ride was triumphant and majestic for all time. In the name of Jesus, who rides triumphant forever, amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. God of our salvation, your beloved Son entered the holy city on this day to shouts of Hosanna, for truly he came in the name of the Lord. Hear us now as we bring to you our prayers on behalf of the church and of all people in every place, giving us confidence that for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, you hear us, and grant our requests according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, you have called us together in this congregation to build up one another, to proclaim the gospel in our community, and to be a church and a people living in faith, hope, and love. Open our hearts during this Holy Week to appreciate even more your great love and the great sacrifice you made on our behalf through the suffering and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, you have called governments into existence to keep the peace and to protect citizens. We pray that you would move all rulers to govern with justice and mercy. We pray especially for our own president, Congress, judges, and state and local officials, that they may provide a safe environment for us to live in and allow for the clear presentation of the message of salvation in our land. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, you have made all that exists. In your wise providence, you continue to provide the necessities of life. Move us to be a people living in love so that we are generous in sharing our resources with those who lack those necessities. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for all who are ill in mind, body, or spirit. We especially remember this day those who are suffering from sickness or recovering from recent surgery. We especially remember this day Bill Reckert, Ted Vogel, James Hudson, B. Doherty, who was hospitalized, Jen Schmidt's father, Dennis Martin, as he recovers from surgery, and John Schmidt's mother, Kay Schmidt, as she recovers from surgery. Great God, support them in their hour of need with your protecting hand, and if it's your will, bring them back to health. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, give comfort to all who mourn the death of loved ones, especially the family and loved ones of Joyce Widener, who died in the Lord on Monday, and Marcia Holman and her family upon the death of her daughter, Joy Rodenberger, this past Friday. Give to them peace, Lord, and fill them with hope in the promised resurrection of all believers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray with praise and thanksgiving, along with those who are celebrating special gifts of your grace, Lord. Especially today, we praise you along with Pat Offit and Doug Miller, who are united in marriage today. Bless and guide them as they begin married life together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us ever to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We remain standing as we sing our closing hymn together, Ride On, Ride On, in Majesty.